So I asked G Hill, I was like, I really want to learn how to hit left-handed. I was like, can you hook me up with Barry? I know that's your guy. He told me, he goes, hey, Barry wants you to call him. I'm like, what do I talk to Barry Bonds about? So I call him. Nope, no answer. Call him again. He's like, hello? I'm like, Barry, it's Dexter Fowler. He's like, oh, what's up, man? I told G Hill to have you call me, but I didn't mean today.
What's up, everybody? We back. Another week, another R2C2. Still quarantined.
Man, it's been R2C2 safe at home for a while, man.
Yeah, it has been on the East Coast over here, man. It's been rough, but we getting through it. You know what I'm saying? It's been good.
Yeah, and you know what? There's a part of me, man, that is proud of our area when I see the numbers in a tri-state area going down the way they are, because I'm like, you know what? Like, we've been doing our part here, you know? We really have.
Yeah, it seems like it, you know, I mean, but the weather's getting nicer, so we'll see how the parks and shit start to look, you know, now that it's starting to be nice outside.
Can I make one public address announcement on that front before we bring in our outstanding guest who I can't wait to talk to today, see?
Yeah.
It's this. I live in a city. I live in Manhattan. Like, I get it. Like, I'm pent up. I want to be outside too. And I'm going for, you know, more walks now than I was. Why is it so hard to wear a mask? Like, I don't understand why it's so, put any kind of cloth mask over. It's not hard. I mean, the walk is still very enjoyable. Just do it. It's not hard to do.
It's not. People are like freaking out about wearing a mask. I mean, I was out riding my bike just right now. I had two masks on. And I seen some people out without a mask, you know what I'm saying? Like, I had the hospital mask and I had a cloth mask over it. Like, I'm not fucking around, but I mean, it seems like people don't, you know, ain't really taking it that serious, I guess, still. Like,
I don't understand. Like, I don't know if it's, you know, I mean, I know people always like hate being told what to do, and I get that. But, you know, this isn't saying, hey, we're going to have to put a microchip in your arm. Like, I understand. I will resist that too, okay? This is just a cloth mask to help prevent something, which, by the way, the like average day of transmission for people based on the recent studies is before they show symptoms. So you don't know when you're transmitting it or not. So the mask helps everybody involved. I don't get it, man. You can enjoy a walk, or in Cece's case, a bike ride with two masks. You could still enjoy it.
Definitely.
So one mask is not a problem. Anyway, see, I know we're both excited to talk to our guests today here on R2C2. We had a good time last couple weeks, released the last couple episodes of The Shift we had done during spring training, and it was great. I mean, Archie Bradley, fantastic, and it was awesome hearing from Justin Upton, and now back to, you know, more contemporary times and talking to one of your good buddies today, man.
Yeah.
Dexter Fowler is in the building, fellow Jordan Brand athlete. Dexter, welcome to R2C2, man.
Man, I feel like when C told me about this, I feel like I got the call up, man, because I couldn't sleep last night. Look, I asked this dude. I was like, oh, y'all got a podcast. And C's like, yeah, bro, you got to come on. You got to come on. This is like when y'all first started.
We never played each other, Cass. Like, when was you ever going to come on? You know what I'm saying?
Like, he was like, you got to come on. I was like, I'm there anytime. You let me know. And then he hit me. He was like, hey, you want to come on the podcast? Do I want to come on? I've been on you the whole time. I got called up. I feel good. I feel good about myself. I couldn't sleep last night.
We ain't played y'all since 2017. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't really nothing I can do.
87 episodes in. I mean,
we switched over podcast carries and everything by the time
everything, bro. I figured I was just getting it right. And then, and, you know, I come in and, you know, when we got it all set up, everything going.
Nah, we was waiting for the video because, you know what I'm saying, it's better in the video. You know what I mean?
We needed the proper fertile ground before you got here, Dexter. Now we're good. Now it's the right place for you. Well, it's great to have you, man. Anytime we get that kind of, you know, excitement and analogy, I'll take it. That's what we want R2C2 to be, man, like getting called up to the show. So I'm glad it's finally happening.
You know, it's bittersweet. It's like being picked last and pick up.
Oh, man. No, definitely not that. for our audience, since they can obviously see a friendship, I got to ask you first, man, where did it start with you and C? How did you guys first get connected?
So, obviously, I've been watching C forever. And, you know, it was cool to see a black baseball player out there, especially on the mound, pitching and dominating. And then we had a lot of mutual friends. And I had heard about him, like, you got to meet C. And I was like, man, like, we're never in the same place at the same time. And I think what Poppy's place? Poppy's?
Yeah, Poppy's golf tournament.
Poppy's golf tournament was like the first time that we actually got to kick it. And it was like, I'm not going to say love at first sight, but I mean.
Nah, we hit it off. Like, even our wives, too. Right, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was, but that was the year after. I think I had played with EY, and you and EY are super close.
Prince, EY, shit, Al.
Al, for sure.
Everybody. Like, we crossed paths so many times without crossing paths, which is crazy.
And you know, when was that tournament? When was Poppy's thing? How many
Poppy's
years ago?
Poppy's thing was 2016 offseason. Okay. The year he retired, right? He retired in 16.
That seems right.
Yeah, 16 or 17. Maybe 17.
But he's retiring. Did he retire?
It might have been 16. I think it was 16.
It was 16. Yeah, and it was in a DR. That was fun. T.I. performed.
Yeah, that was crazy. Wild.
That's when everybody was doing the
we was out there smoking
the mannequin
cigars.
Challenge.
Black Beatles. We was over there, Black Beatles.
Hey, man, that was also after your championship then, too, Dexter.
I think it was because we was talking to Ray Allen about the PEs.
And Poppy was there. Like, I mean, yeah, not Poppy. Chappie was there. Chappie was there.
Yeah,
Chappie was
with
us.
Sure,
yeah, that
sure.
was 16
right.
for sure.
100%. 100%. Yeah.
Man, when you go back to Chicago, and I know it's a little different because you're a member of the Cardinals now, but like when you go back to Chicago after you played a critical role in winning that title, like we all know every championship is celebrated, but that title was a different level of special. Yeah. What is it like is when you go back there, is there like what's the reception like and the reaction with people?
So what's crazy is it's like you're watching The Last Dance, like Chicago fans, like they don't miss shit. Like, and they don't forget shit. Like, good, bad, or ugly, they don't forget shit. So I still, every time I go out there and play, I run out to the Ivy because I do my little ritual, you know, say, talk to my grandmother. But they still show me love. Like, I run out the center and they stand up. The bleachers stand up and they still love me, which is awesome. You know, it's awesome when you get there. I'm getting chills talking about it. Every time you go there, like, even on the streets, they're like, hey, Dex, thank you. Or just walk by and say, thank you. So it's crazy out there.
To be in that rivalry too, though, to be a Cardinal and still get that love, like, that's big. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, nobody's ever been cherished like that.
Johnny Damon wasn't getting that love when he went back to Fenway as a Yankee. Even after he won a couple titles, you know what I'm saying?
You know what? See, that's a good point, man. I was trying to think of like what would be the exact comp. That's it. With the historically long drought without a title, playing a big role in it, and then going back and not at all receiving, positive receptions. Damon used to get booed vociferously when he'd go back to Fenway. Meanwhile, Dexter, you going back as a Cardinal, getting love from that place, man.
Man, they want me back. They want me. It's crazy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. not you left, but hey, come back. We want you. Like, hey, we love to have you. Like, genuinely thankful.
That's awesome, though. I mean, ending that drought with that franchise, like, that's got to be insane, man. How was that parade?
Oh, seventh biggest in the world ever, I guess. What they said, it was like 7 million people. Yeah, every street you look down, it was rows and rows. You go on a Michigan Ave, and as far as you can see, it was like an ocean of people. I said the thing you could compare it to is that picture with at the Million Man March.
Yeah, yeah.
And you just see a sea of people. It's crazy.
That's crazy.
Oh, man.
People in trees on top of buildings. I'm like, how did he even get up there?
What was the route? Was it Lakeshore? Like, did y'all go down?
So we went Wrigleyville. Then we went all the way down Lakeshore. Then we went and hit Michigan Ave, took that, and we went, I think we went the Magnificent Mile down. right past the bean. Uh-huh. And then we went into the park right there.
Oh, nice. It's crazy. I spent so much time in Chicago playing in the Central. Like, I know exactly where you know what I'm saying? Like, I know exactly
yeah,
what
you're talking about. Yeah, you followed it. Yeah.
Do you, like, I mean, Dexter, when you're going through that, are you guys feeling the weight of the drought? Not just, I mean, winning a title is hard anyway, but are you guys, like, as you're going through the playoffs, and obviously you had ridiculous drama in that World Series and in Game 7, are you feeling the weight of, oh my gosh, we need to do this for these Cubs fans?
You know what? I think when we went home, like we went home and it was 1-1, and then they beat us 2 in a row at home. And we were sitting there like, gosh, hey, we was this close. But then we was like, fuck it. Like, we ain't got shit to lose. Like, they beat us twice. What else we gonna do? Sit here and cry? They think they won. But let's see what we can do. Let's make it interesting for them. Yeah. And we knew we figured we would. I think everybody in the clubhouse was like, we're a better team. They just winning. They beating us. Let's figure out a way to win. We're a better team than them. So we all put our hands together, man. Everybody, honestly, everybody was playing like, fuck it. Let's go. Which was cool. You know, anytime that you had that feeling in the clubhouse, the dudes are like, hey, fuck it. Like, it's time. Like, you know something good going to happen. Either way you look at it.
Especially when you got your back against the wall in those series. Like, I mean, what are you going to do? You can't lay down. You know what I'm saying? Especially if you feel like you're the better team. Like, the better team most of the time is going to win those series, especially in baseball. You know what I mean? Like,
For sure.
Just doing the little things right, pitching better, playing better defense. Like, the shit's going to turn around no matter what the series is at. You know
facts,
what I mean?
Facts, yeah.
Do you guys, like, because you both have a title. See, your career is done. Dexter, you're still playing, but like, you know, do you like find yourself reminiscing about it a lot? Like, do you relive the journey a lot of your championship season?
I never did while I was playing. No,
I was about to say I don't right now.
Nah, I never did it. And still, I mean, unless it comes up, like something pops up or something, like, nah, I mean, I know I won, like it was great. Like, but no, I mean, maybe if I had more, then it'd be more to look back on, but just having that, you know, playing in that one, I mean, it's weird. I never really looked at it while I was playing because I was always chasing another one. And now, I mean, maybe I should now that I'm done playing, you know what I'm saying? Maybe I should watch the playoffs and, you know what I'm saying, different things like that of 09, but I haven't yet.
That's what I said I would do. Like, I'm sitting here, I'm listening to you, and I thought I was the only one like that. Like, everybody asks, hey, do you sit there? I don't. Like, everybody, like, I'll get stuff on Twitter like, oh, I'm watching you guys game 7. I'm like, I don't even remember that shit. I don't remember that game. Not one thing. Like I remember the beginning, obviously. And then after that, I blacked out. Yeah. It's over. Like, and we won. And I was like, oh, shit, that was the longest game ever. And then the parade and everything after that. And it's just like, you on to the next season, ready for another one, trying to get another one, chasing that other one. And it's like, I think when I'm done playing, you're right. I might sit down and actually take it all in and watch everything.
I remember the years we lost more than than 09. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember 2010 playoffs. I remember 08 in Milwaukee. Like, I remember 07 in Cleveland. But 09 was just, you know what I mean? I don't know. Like you said, I probably just blacked out the playoffs and just, you know, just went crazy. But no, I haven't. I don't even know where my ring is. Like, I have to ask him.
No,
like,
come on, see? Where the ring is at? No, come on, man.
I don't even think I'll ever wear that shit. You know what I'm saying?
No, man, like, no. Wear it. You got to wear it.
I mean,
maybe
at some point. Like, but right now, I mean, I haven't even thought about putting it on.
You understand, like, you can't be saying that. We have a lot of members of our group chat, Dexter, who have been petitioning C to line them up for rings on the next title. If they hear this, and the way they're going to say, hold on, man, you got to get us a ring. We'll take better care of it than you do.
Like, I ain't going to lie. I don't know where mine's at either. I got to ask.
Oh, come on, guys.
Aaliyah, where's my ring? Like, where is it at?
Oh, my gosh. I bet you there's going to be a time when you're at, like, some sort of event or whatever where you're like, you know, I'm going to put this on. You know, maybe you're still, Dexter, you're still in it. See, you're just out of it, right? I would think at some point you're going to be like, you know what? I want to wear this because if you think about it, I am sure, you know, regardless of the individual accolades and whatever, and obviously, see, you have Hall of Fame credentials and will be there someday. But like your career will always be easier to look back on because you won that title. You know, I have a feeling that's going to give you a sense of fulfillment as the years go on when you look back. Like that.
No doubt for me. I mean, I wasn't like that was the only reason I was playing was to ever win a title, like, and just to have to be a world champion. Like, so, I mean, no doubt, 1000%. I'm sure as I get older, I'll be able to appreciate it more. But yeah, I mean, it's just like you, it just puts you at ease a little more. Uh-huh. Like,
yeah,
you're always on edge as a player and as an athlete. You know, you always trying to, you know, outdo your best performance or, you know, be better than you were last year. But to actually have a title, like, it puts you at ease. Like, you can sleep better at night. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like,
it's 100%. You look at it, it's funny because it, like, and see, you've done, C's done more than, damn, shit. Way more than I have, and more than a lot of guys in the game. And you look at all that shit, like, you know, when I went on the TNT with Barkley, like, they all had rings but Charles. And they was roasting his ass. They was boring. Yeah. Like, no matter, and Charles has been through it. Charles got a lot of shit, but he doesn't have a ring. And it's funny because my mentor is Barry, and Barry, like, damn, like, I got all this shit. Like, he won every award there is in baseball at least twice. And he said, bro, I've never gotten a championship. And
he would trade all I ever wanted. He would trade all that shit in for
Barry Bonds.
All of it. Yeah. I guarantee you that. And like, 100%. I used to always not want to be Karl Malone. Like, I didn't want all the numbers and all of that shit, but no chips. You know what I'm saying? Like, partly that's because of Michael Jordan, obviously, but like,
right.
I just did not want to be that. Like, I would be up at night thinking about that all the time. Like, the first 8 years of my career, like, I gotta, like, find a way to win a fucking championship, like, or else it's never gonna be right for me. That's just how, like, my mind frame was. That's how my mind worked. And, like, I didn't care about wins. I didn't care about striking people out.
Uh-huh.
I cared about if our team won. I didn't care about me individually getting the win. I wanted to fucking win a title. And so, I mean, like you said, just having that as an old, like, you know, as an old player, being around Charles Oakley and different guys like that, like, they appreciate you more if you have a championship.
Flowers are blooming, the grass is growing, and it's time to mow your lawn. Yes, thanks to our sponsor, Manscaped, you can trim the hedges below the belt safely and efficiently.
It's definitely that time.
Yo, it is that time. And here's the good news. You know what we're talking about. We're talking about family jewel trimmers, okay? Manscaped is here to make sure your assets are smooth, smelling nice, and after all, it's time for some spring cleaning. And see, here's the great thing. Like, people may not be able to get out to their barber, but this is something they can still take care of themselves.
Yeah, this is something that you should take care of your fucking self. Nobody should be doing this for you. So, yes, this is something that people need to be taking care of.
That's an excellent point.
Like, right now, because it's about to be summertime.
Yeah, exactly. That's a really good point, by the way, C, that this is something that always should be done by yourself. we've seen, first of all, I love people's reaction to these ads. It's great. It's like, you know, people just love hearing about Manscaped. It's amazing how many people I know who've then said, like, hey, thanks for bringing it up because I got it from my husband or boyfriend or whoever it is. Like, you know, the women are buying it for the men in their lives who are listening to the podcast.
My cousin listens to our podcast in his barbershop, and he said this gets the best reaction every time is our Manscaped commercial. So this is the best part of our pod.
It is. It's the best part of the content you get here. And Manscaped is the only men's brand dedicated to below-the-waist grooming. They have forever changed the grooming game with their Perfect Package 3.0. Doesn't it feel like they're, like, constantly upgrading? You know,
it's constant upgrades, which is great.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, we need that.
They don't rest on their laurels. They want to make sure everything is smooth and smells wonderful. They have this kit, the Perfect Package 3.0, that comes with the Essential Lawnmower 3.0. It's waterproof, it's cordless body trimmer, and a ton of other liquid formulations to round out your manscaping routine. And you'll also find the Manscaped Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing area deodorant and moisturizer. I always love trying to come up with different synonyms for the assets at play.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. I love it.
And as our treat, you will find the Crop Reviver, which will keep your area smelling fresh, just like spring flowers. Who doesn't want that place smelling like spring flowers after all? Subscribe and get a new replacement blade refill for your lawnmower trimmer delivered to your door every 3 months, making sure your trimmer always stays hygienic and clean. And for a limited time, subscribers get two free gifts, the Shed Travel Bag and our Manscaped Boxer Briefs. Might as well have the boxer briefs to go with it, right?
You might as well. I mean, if you're cleaning up down there, you might as well have something to cover it up.
And you know it's going to feel nice. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code R2C2 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code R2C2. It's spring cleaning, baby, and your assets are going to thank you.
You know, you bring up Barry Bonds, Dexter, and I, as a mentor, how did he become a mentor to you, and what's that relationship like?
So my first base coach in Colorado was Glenn Allen Hill, and yeah, so G Hill and Barry are tight. So G Hill, not a lot of people know, when I first got the pro ball, like, I started switch hitting. Like, I got drafted just as a right-handed hitter. And I started switching, like, my first instructional league. They were like, hey, we want you to, because I was goofing around in the cage, weird, me goofing around. And they were like, and our roving hitting guy and my farm director were there, and they saw me, and they called me in the office the next day. I'm thinking I'm in trouble. I'm like, gosh, damn, like, what did I do? And they were like, we want you to start switching. And I was like, I started laughing. I was like, no, for real, like, what's going on? They were like, no. And I was like, all right, then when? And they were like, today. We want you to start today.
And you had so never, like, done it before?
Never. Like, we
never
played
in a game when you were growing up? Nothing?
Nothing. My brother and I used to play home run derby left-handed. Like, my hand-eye coordination was crazy, but my feet were everywhere, but I could hit. And so we go to Insta, we do all that stuff. And long story short, we go fast forward to 2012 or 13. So I asked G Hill, I was like, I really want to learn how to hit left-handed. I was like, can you hook me up with Barry? I know that's your guy. And he goes, I'll ask him. He's not really doing anything. Like, you know, I've asked him for a few guys. And for some reason, he said yes to me. And so G Hill, I remember like it was yesterday. He told me, he goes, hey, Barry wants you to call him. I was like, he goes, here's his number. He wants you to call him. I'm over here pacing my damn room in Philly. I'm like, what do I talk to Barry Bonds about, right?
Right.
I call my wife. I'm like, what am I going to talk to this dude about? Like, I don't know this dude. Like, I've never, like, talked to him, never. So I call him. Nope, and no answer. So I was like, I'm going to call him the next. Call him again. He's like, hello? I'm like, Barry, it's Dexter Fowler. He's like, I said, he goes, oh, what's up, man? I told G Hill to have you call me, but I didn't mean today. I was like, damn. I was like, oh, he goes, it's all right. And then he talked for like an hour and a half about hitting and shit. And he's like, but don't even worry about none of that stuff. We'll get it right after the season. And I'm just like, mouth wide open. If he could have seen me on the other side, he'd be like, this dude is like in awe. Like, this dude's starstruck. It was crazy. But then after that, we hooked up after in the off season, and the rest is history. The dude's been like he's been awesome. He's been, you know, there every step of the way.
You a beast for calling back, because I damn sure wouldn't call back.
hey, you want to know for the best, bro? You got to call. You got to call
for sure,
back.
For sure.
Yeah.
So what, Dexter? I mean, that's an amazing story, and I'm glad you brought up the switch hitting too, because that was something I wanted to ask you about. But when Barry, like, first then gets that off season with you and starts working with you, like, how often are you working with him, or like, how are you working with him at that point?
So I was living in Salt Lake at the time, and it was snowing, and he gave me a, like, so I thought I was just going to go and hit, right? Like, teach me how to hit. And he sent me workouts, and I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do with all these damn workouts? And he's like, I'm talking like, I'm in Salt Lake City, bro, and he talking about, hey, go run 3 miles. I'm like, it's fucking snowing outside. Like, what you want me to run? Bro, I did everything on it. He had, like, I was in the gym for fucking 2.5 hours doing his shit. Man. And he was like, bro, I got to get your body right before I can teach you how to hit. Like, your body has to be in a good position before I teach you how to hit. And I'm over here like, damn, I never thought of it that way. Yeah. But, like, some of the shit he was even telling me, it didn't resonate till, like, 3 years down the road. Like, I was like, damn, that's what he was talking about when he said that. And he simplifies everything. The dude is the smartest. He's the smartest baseball dude I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
By far. Like, everybody, if you think somebody's here, Barry is here. It's crazy.
What's an example of that, Dexter? Like, of where you just see, like, man, this guy, like, thinks about it differently or kind of simplifies it differently. Like, how does that actually tangibly translate?
Whether it's picking apart a pitcher, whether it's even thinking about a season. Like, he's like, just think about it. Like, this is how he would talk to you. He's like, think about it. Think about your manager saying, hey, you could take 60 games off and not even come back. Just do whatever you want. Fuck off for 60 days. Whatever you want to do. I don't care. Then you come back and win 100. You're one of the best teams ever to play. Like, nobody ever thinks of shit like that, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's so simple. Like, who says that? Like, who thinks of shit like that? Like, go, even if you win 70%, if you take off 70 games and win the rest of them, you're good. That's how he thinks of, that's how he thinks of baseball, too. Like, he's like, oh, this pitcher, I mean, he can only throw this 20% of the time, so fucking wipe that. Like, 20%? What's 20% to you? Like, tip your cap. If he does it again, tip your cap. He ain't gonna do it again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn. Like, I never thought of shit like that. You can't like fathom that. But then you know why he's the greatest. You know what I mean?
But that's how, like, when I used to sit on the bench and talk to Eddie Murray, he was the same way, like being able to break down pitchers and like knew what was coming. Like, oh, you see he threw that curveball for a strike? He can't do that again. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Like, he only does that 15-10% of the time. Like, literally, if he does that again, tip your cap, walk back to the dugout. But he's not going to be able to do that shit again. So sit on something else. You know what I'm saying? But that's what made me like, oh, okay, they think I can't throw my changeup back to back for a strike. You know what I'm saying? And that's where I would like freeze people a lot. Like, just by listening to him talk about the way like hitters thought about shit. Like, oh, the changeup is his last pitch. Like, he can't throw that thing for a strike. So I would always purposely try to throw that shit right down the middle for a strike because I knew they was taking it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, it works both ways. If you really can, if you talk to somebody that's smart about baseball, it works for pitching and hitting, to be honest.
But then the, you know, the greats, them motherfuckers like, oh, he ain't gonna throw it again, but if he do, I'm ready for that shit.
I'm ready for that. That was Manny Ramirez. That was Manny.
Like, he's gonna throw it again, but if he does, I'm gonna smack that shit.
Yeah.
Cause it's not a good pitch and he gonna overthrow it and it's gonna
be right there. Yeah.
Right.
There's gotta be like just a certain level of just cool too when you're learning from either a hero of yours or an icon or someone who, you know, you grew up watching, whatever it is, man. Like, I know even like for me, growing up a diehard Yankee fan, right? I have those moments occasionally when I'm broadcasting a game with like David Cone, right? Or Paul O'Neill, where I'm like, man, like I grew up like hoping that I get, Wendy's had these like little baseballs with the faces of David Cone and Paul O'Neill on them. And I'm hoping I'm getting them when I get my, whatever Wendy's version of a Happy Meal was, right? Like now they're friends and I work with them. And I'm like, it's so cool. You know, you meet your heroes and that's amazing, right? You get to build a relationship. That's incredible. But then if you even like build a relationship where you're like actually learning their tricks of their trade and that, like, that's a different level. Dexter, there has to be like some moment where you're just like, man, like, I'm learning from Barry Bonds. Like, how cool is this, man?
You know what's funny? It's funny you say that because we were hitting at UCLA and he was telling me, he was like, hey, hit the ball over here. And I'm like, pfft. And I hit the ball over there like twice and I rolled over some shit. Like, and then I hit the ball over there again, rolled over some shit. He's like, Dex, hit the ball over here. And I'm like, bro, I'm trying, bro. Like, that's why I'm here. Teach me how to do this shit. And so he gets pissed off, comes over, gets the bat, right? And he gets up and he's like, bro, I haven't hit in 7 years. And he's over here and he gets in his stance and I got the chills. I was like, damn, this fucking Barry Bonds. Motherfucker, no batting gloves, no nothing. Bam, 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 hits the target like three or four times. I was like, here, man, that shit ain't that hard. I was like, motherfucker, we know you can hit.
We know,
like,
you can do that shit. Yeah.
So that's when you really feel like it. That's when you're like, yeah, oh shit, like this is Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
See, who is that guy for you, see? Like, that you come and you're like, man, like that's whoever, like that you interact with or you've learned from, whether it's like, you know, in your sport or business or anything.
Yeah, no, I mean, if in my sport, it was Eddie Murray for sure. Just being able to be around him every day and like learn from him. And, you know, he taught me how to pitch, like really did, like show me, you know, what to throw in certain counts and show me what people be looking for. Yogi was one of those guys that I always got a chance to like, you know, be around, and he's the icon, and, you know, to be able to be around him every day was great. Ron Guidry, you know what I'm saying? I mean, just being a Yankee in general, to be honest, like,
There's so many greats.
It's so many greats. And like, to have that, those kind of relationships with those dudes, is something special. And it's something that you don't really realize until you get here and be a Yankee. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's something that, you know, I never really took for granted, and I still cherish those, you know, Willie Randolph and like I said, Gator and Goose, and I still cherish those relationships for sure.
Man, I always think about, like, how about, like, when you had that moment in time where, like, at Old Timers Day, you used to have, like, Mantle and DiMaggio and Yogi. I mean, it's just, like, the name, it's just, it's ridiculous, the firepower that you can, you know, trot out there when you got the pinstripes.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, hopefully we get, you know, some more Old Timers Day and guys start coming back, maybe G to come back, maybe Sato will come back, you know what I'm saying?
Shit, your ass gonna be playing out there.
Oh, I'm definitely playing. But I'm hitting though. I ain't bitch, I can't fucking throw anyway. But I'm gonna be playing first, guys.
Hey, you keep doing them cleans, you gonna be all right.
I'm gonna be ready, guys.
Whoa, I mean, Dexter, absolutely. How about this guy? C's on his Instagram. And now, by the way, you know, he has control of his public Instagram too, which is very dangerous.
Yeah,
but
he's
throwing up the workout videos on both Instagram accounts now, I believe.
Hey, you know what?
Those cleans, my gosh, man.
It's, you know, it took for me to get out of baseball to get in shape. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to get right for Vegas for the Raiders when I come to the games, guys.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, I'm going to be right with you, bro. I'm a Raiders fan. I told you.
Yo, I'm going to get you a hat. I'm going to get you some gear, too. I'm sure you can get some shit out there. They got everything in Vegas right now.
They got everything, yeah.
I was walking through the airport last offseason when I was out there, and they had a bunch of Raiders, Las Vegas.
You should be sending me some shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, for our audience who doesn't know, Dexter lives in Vegas, so he's there right now.
He's a Cowboys fan.
I'm a Vegas Raider, though.
Yeah.
Why you gotta throw that in there?
No, I'm just saying, we accepted the applications right now. You was excited for the draft and all that, so we good.
Dexter, how, like, can, before all this, obviously, where we're all, you know, socially isolated from one another, could you feel sort of the excitement for the Raiders coming? Is it palpable there in Vegas?
Oh, yeah. Any sports team that comes here, like, the Knights was crazy. Like, they sell it. They still sell it every game. Like, now the Raiders going to sell out every game. Easy.
Stadium looks crazy, too.
Oh, it's unreal. I can see it from the house. Like, I said, this is the clearest it's ever been, too, by the way.
Like, yeah, since nobody's out, huh?
Nobody's out. It's beautiful. Like, from the house, I can see and you've been to the golf course. Like, you can see, like, the stadium, everything.
You can see the strip and everything. Oh, yeah, you can from the golf course. Yeah,
yeah.
Even one of my best friends in the world, Dave Rischke, he's a diehard Seahawks fan. He's excited about the Raiders coming to Vegas. So, like,
yeah,
I know it's going to be crazy out there. I can't wait, man.
It's a different vibe. It's such a good buzz out here, man. Like, you know, just especially the way that hockey came in. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So everybody's excited for the next thing. So
I heard Shaq talking about it's a hoop team on the way to Vegas. Huh?
That's what I heard too. That's what I heard too.
Man,
that would be insane.
Wow.
You see it in everything, every single sport they've had, right? I've seen it because I broadcast WNBA games. I've seen it with the Aces. They sell out all their games. The atmosphere feels big. They even for like the visiting teams, they make it a whole experience.
Yeah.
You know, with the Knights, Right. Seeing the way they sell out every game, that run to the Stanley Cup Finals a couple years ago, like seeing the atmosphere around it. I am excited for it. See, were you excited about their draft, though? How did you feel about it?
Yeah, no, I was excited. I mean, we need speed. We need receivers. Like, we need it all. Like, we drafted so well last year, you know, and then coming into this, you know, getting Ruggs. I mean, I'm excited, you know. There's no reason not to be excited to be a Raider fan right now. To be
he was like, so smooth in the robe, too. So he comfortable already.
He got the Old Spice robe.
That was an amazing outfit choice for that, man.
Hey, C text me. He was like, cousin of robe, the Old Spice robe. I was crying.
Dontrell called me. He left me like a voice message. He was so excited. He was like, you see, he got the robe on. That's what we needed.
That's great. Yeah, Dexter, what, you know, you mentioned like just being able to see further in Vegas right now with obviously the lack of activity and the way pollution is clearing up during this time. I've noticed it in New York where I'm like hearing birds chirping that I've never heard in the city. Even like going up on the roof, I'll be up there and I'll be like, this is unbelievable. Like it's the city is like silent, you know, like New York on a nice spring day. I mean, first of all, it's never silent, but especially not there. Like, what does Vegas feel like right now with the Strip shut down?
The great outdoors. Like, it's like to be able to see and see past that. Like, I didn't even know that you could see the mountains past that. Like, it's, you know, obviously Vegas is in the valleys, but you could see like on the mountains on each side, like past Henderson, the whole nine. And I live got it by Red Rock, so you can see those mountains, and it's clear. And we go out in the desert. We go on hikes. You can go on hikes, and it's a lot. There's actually a ton of stuff to do out here.
It's funny, right? Like you never, if you just like visit Vegas, you don't realize. Like, first of all, it's amazing how many people live there. Like, and I'm always like, oh, this athlete lives there. This at like, you know, when you're doing bios and stuff, you're like, damn, everybody lives in Vegas. And you don't realize how different it is than just like, you know, being at the MGM Grand or whatever.
No state tax, guys.
That's right. That's the whole reason I moved down here. But at the end of the day, I never thought I would be here. We're building a house. Like, I never thought I would be here for good. Like, we got down here and I was like, okay, Vegas, like, obviously you think of the Strip. I don't ever go down there.
Yeah.
I go down there for shows. I go down there to eat sometimes. But we usually just stay over here in Summerlin. Like, it's crazy. C's been out here, and, like, it's a different world. Like, people it's are nice like, oh, here. Yeah, it's quiet. Like, you can
golf
go right up to
sick.
Yeah, a ton of golf courses. You know, the new stadium, that new minor league stadium's here. We work out there. A bunch of guys go over there and work out. It's cool.
Feels at least 10% nicer than New York, I'm guessing. At least 10% nicer. You know,
you got to move to Jersey, guys. I'm telling you, bro.
Oh, man.
Get you some space, guys. Like,
where C's at. We went to C's house for remember Easter. What was it? Easter 17.
Yeah.
Easter Sunday 17. And it was crazy out there. That was my first time out there. And it was beautiful.
People be surprised by Jersey. I love it over here. You can, I said, I was riding my bike today. You can do whatever you want. Like there's so much space out here. But like, you can be in the city. I can be in the city in 25 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really enjoy it over here.
It is true. There's like a stigma with Jersey, especially if you like grew up in New York, wherever part of New York, you know. But Jersey's got a lot of great towns, man. Easy access to the city.
Yeah, and look at y'all now. Y'all are everybody that want to be like shit on Jersey and live in the city. Yeah. Now y'all asses in the house.
Now we're screwed, man. You know what? That's what I was talking about. It's like, you know what happens when you got quarantine going on near the city? Now all of a sudden you're just paying an absurd amount of money for a box you can't leave. It's like, that's it. Like, the city isn't the city when there's no restaurants, no bars, no, you know, when you go outside and you know, worry about slamming into people, you know, can't walk, you know, on the sidewalks. It's not exactly what you thought you were paying for here.
they didn't give anybody anything on the rent, like, you know, extra month to pay.
Yeah, some places are, I think. And I don't want to get it wrong, but there was some sort of executive order, I think, on evictions and stuff to halt that during this period of time. And so some landlords have, you know, have cut rent. I can't say that's been my situation, unfortunately. But Gratefully, so far, my networks are still taking care of all of us. So hopefully it continues that way. But yeah, man, I mean, you know, a lot, if you think about it, like a lot of these places, you were paying, let's take if you have like your average like one bedroom apartment in the city, you're paying anywhere from like $4,000 to $6,000 a month. Whereas,
wow.
Like, and now, you know, if you want to try and leave in those buildings, you got maybe 35 floors. And so you're getting in the elevator with people. Like the whole situation is like, man, like I really would, you know, you really would feel stuck in that space, you know?
Yeah. You kind of quarantine with everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly, man.
Every
exactly.
time you get on the elevator and do something, you with somebody. So
exactly, man. It's like, y'all please hard don't to leave. Separate.
Right.
Yeah.
But exactly. That's what I was even saying about, I heard like they was trying to do like the new spring trainings and like the home city site. So guys didn't have to get hotels and try to rent a house for a month in the spring training site. But if you come here, somebody gets on the subway and goes to the Bronx, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what, I mean, it's nothing you can really do about it. It's crazy. Like,
it's wild, man. I can't wait till we see baseball, though. What's interesting is, and I'm glad that people are optimistic about it coming back at some point in July or whatever. What's funny is, right now, the only thing that kind of like feels like pro sports is the Jordan doc, right? Yeah. Like every Sunday night, unless you're a Jordan brand athlete like Dexter and CeCe and you've had early access to the documentary, everybody else, every Sunday night, they, you know, it's like, all right, 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock, I got my sporting event, you know? Like,
hey, better believe though, how long were we trying to get that shit? We were trying to get that shit for when is the doc coming out? When is the doc? Can we get it early? Can we get it early? We was on our rep. We was on Jordan. We was like, hey, can we get it? Can we get it? They were like, nope, nope, nope. Hard no, too. I was like, damn, hard, I mean, yeah. And we was on, like, the group text was going wild. Everybody was trying to fight.
The Jordan brand group chat?
Yeah.
Everybody was trying to fight him and everything, man.
Everybody was getting mad. People was
and I was just over there like this.
Stirring that pot.
I wasn't saying nothing because when that was going on, I had already seen it. So like, when those chats was going on, I was like, nah, I'm not gonna say shit.
but what people don't know, CB texted me on the group on the side, be like, hey, hey, you got to get on such and such.
Dex, hey, big bro said I gotta do it. I love to get him going though. It's great. He's like Guardy in that way.
Dexter is
like he gets his shit going. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, hey, I used to play with Guardy in the fall.
No, I didn't know that. Oh yeah, you told
really?
Me that.
We played together in the fall league.
Was Guardy a great storyteller then? Because he's unbelievable now.
Hey, that dude was the fastest white dude I've ever seen in my life. He literally beat out a ball to second base. I was like, he had like quarter swung. It was like a chopper, and he beat it out to first. I was like, who is this dude? I never heard of the dude before in my life. And he was shredded out of his mind, eating McDonald's every day and like ripped.
He is jacked, man.
I told him I can't wait till he get old because he's gonna be a fat fuck, and I can't wait for it. I cannot wait.
That actually, you know what? We're gonna have Yankee fans are gonna have to remember this conversation for like 20 years from now when Brett comes back for Old Timers Day and what that shape looks like. Now that C is predicting it,
man. That's awesome. Him and Curtis Granderson had the worst diets I've ever seen. They both were shredded. Like, she used to piss me off. If I even look at what they ate, I would gain 5 pounds.
This is like the genetics, man. I know you guys have seen it in full, but like through 6 episodes, if you can, you know, sort of frame it that way. What, as people who, you know, are Jordan brand guys and who have at least varying degrees of a relationship with Michael, what are the things that have stood out like most to you about the doc?
I'm trying to figure out without getting him anything away. Like,
yeah, the thing that stuck out to me the most was like he walked in his cockiness every day. Like he knew he was the best. He wanted to be the best. He worked out like the best. Like most athletes won't walk around like that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like him and Kobe, the only two people that ever walked around like that, and they won 5 and 6 championships respectively. Like they're the two greatest basketball players ever, but it's weird to like see how much of an alpha male that they, you know what I'm saying? Like even the Olympic the Olympic practice episode, like when they going back and forth and he telling Magic, nah, that's my fucking NBA. Like,
That shit is crazy, man. His competitiveness and his shit is like, from, okay, you hear about it, you see it, you know, but to like you said, he competes all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, he has that dog in him. Like, hey, like, nobody's beating me. I'm even from throwing them down.
Throwing quarters.
Like, yeah. Anything. Hey, you want to compete? We'll compete. Whether I don't care what it is, you're not beating me. But you see that. You see all the greats, they have that. But not like him, Kobe, like, Barry's the same way. Like, and you're like, that's why they were great. Like, yeah. They never back down from any challenge. I don't even care if they're not even that good. They gonna compete. Yeah. And I love that.
But even, like, they respect you more when you walk around like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, for me, being around even Reggie and MJ, like, you can't be scared. You know what I'm saying? Like, because MJ's going to talk some shit to you. So, like, if you curl up and you don't say nothing back, he going to fuck with you all night. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to be able to have something.
Start talking shit back. And then, you got to have something.
You got to have something. Like, I remember my first start at Yankee Stadium. He was there. Like, the very first game, I pitched against the Indians. I had 5 walks. And he comes out and he goes, man, all them fucking walks I could have probably hit today. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Like, it's the first thing he said to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, all them walks I could have hit today. Like, no, you can't, you guys.
Say, if you was hitting, I probably would have had no walks.
Right?
That is great, man. I always remember you saying too, like, he pays attention too. Like, he would know what you've been up to in your starts and whatever, right? And like,
oh, yeah.
So he could call you on anything, like, as you're going along.
Yeah, I mean, maybe just because, you know, he was watching G all the time, so he was watching us. But, like, you know, I could see him at any point. He'd be like, yo, what the fuck was you doing 2 starts ago? Or so, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, you know, it takes me when I got 3,000, like, you know, for him to be in it like that, like, with his athletes and, like, you know, be on you. I mean, it just, you know, that's our idol. So it feels good to have that. You know what I'm saying? It's dope.
Dexter, what's your relationship with Michael like? Like, how much interaction is there?
I text him when I'm down in spring training. Obviously, we were supposed to go golfing a few times. That whole Kobe thing kind of put a wrench in everything. Because he had to speak out there. But he lives in Jupiter, so we're close. I've called him a few times. He texts me. We text back and forth. I saw him last All-Star break in Gozer. So that was the first time we actually sat there and spoke in person. But we've been on text all the time. And he hit me when we won the World Series too, which was the most surreal thing ever. It was like, it was funny because he texted me. He was like, hey, man, I'm proud of you and the boys, whatever. MJ at the end. And I was like, Michael Jackson? And Ali was like, no, you can't say that. You can't say that. I
was like, y'all got to get out to Geyser, man. I heard that place is dope. I always
know. It's crazy.
A-Rod told me about it. A-Rod
it's beautiful, bro. Beautiful. Yeah,
I'm going to do that.
It's like, it's only open during the summer, so the weather is perfect. Right on the lake. Beautiful views.
It's funny. See, I always think about you saying, like, sometimes when you get a text, I think you even, maybe one time you just screenshotted something and it was innocuous. It wasn't anything like, you know, damaging or revealing, but sent to the group chat like, yo, I still trip out when I see this. And it was just like a text from MJ.
You know what it was? He texted me because it was a problem with me getting the 3s for last year. Remember? I wanted to wear the 3s got 3,000. And he texted me. He was like, and I think I sent it to the chat. I can't even remember what he put. But, like, for him to understand what I was trying to do, you know, make a whole new shoe for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think anybody had worn those shoes until that point. So, like, it was dope to be able to, you know, get that blessing from him.
I can remember, like, one time being in the Yankee clubhouse, and I think MJ was visiting Jeter, and, like, he, like, just ducked. It was a post game, and we were, like, all in the clubhouse, and he, like, just ducked into the clubhouse, like, real quick to, like, look around, and everybody, you know, like, and this is all media members who are, like, you know, trying to keep their impartiality and whatever. Everybody just stops and looks at him like, that was MJ. MJ just walked in here. That was MJ. Yeah. You know, like... He's just that big.
He got a presence, man. It's crazy. Like, nobody walks in the room. It's like the president. Like, the president walks in, and, like, Michael's the same way.
Yeah.
All he needs somebody to say, Michael Jordan. But he don't have to do that. You know, like, the president. Oh, the president of the United States. You don't have to do that. It's like, damn, that's Michael. Everybody that's knows Michael.
He's everybody's favorite player, though, guys. You know what I'm saying?
Everybody.
Like, everybody's favorite player. Like, I don't care what anybody says. He's the GOAT. Like, so he's everybody's favorite player.
All right, CC, fill in the blank. By the time they turn 35, 2 out of 3 men will experience what?
Hair loss.
Yeah, boom. They will experience male pattern baldness.
What age was that?
By 35.
Man, mine was way before that.
Me too, man. I remember I saw my first, like, you know, bald spot at 21.
Damn, yeah, boy, it wasn't that early. It was way before 35.
The good news, with today's advancements in science, Keeps offers proven treatments that can combat the symptoms of hair loss. Keeps has revolutionized the way men are treated for hair loss. You used to have to go to the doctor's office for your hair loss prescription. Easy for me to say. Now, thanks to Keeps, you can visit a doctor online and get medication delivered to your home. No more waiting rooms, no more pharmacy checkout lines. Like, that's really convenient.
That's huge, yeah.
That's the way you want it done. Keeps treatments really work. They're up to 90% effective at reducing and stopping further hair loss. The sooner you start using Keeps, the more hair you'll save. So act fast. Find out why Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors, and nearly 100,000 men trust Keeps for their hair loss prevention medication. It's a lot of people using this.
I know. I wish I would have had this when I was losing my hair.
Yeah, when you first saw it happening, right? Yeah. I know. Well, now you can help others. Pay it forward, you know? Keeps treatments start at just $10 a month. Plus, for a limited time, you can get your first month free. If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/R2C2 to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's KEEPS.com/R2C2. We have a couple questions on Twitter. We have a lot of them, but I just want to get a couple real quick, if that's all right. This one kind of segues nicely. Brandon, MVO Brandon on Twitter, says, what are the top 5 Jordans in your sneaker collection? To you, Dexter, but I'll also say to you, C.
In my opinion, like the styles or like the exact ones?
You could do whatever you want. You could just
okay,
say.
Okay, I'll do the styles. Yeah. I'll say the styles. Yeah. Like I love the 17s.
Okay.
I was saying this before. Like the briefcase, like that's iconic to me. Like seeing that. Like I remember my sophomore year. Like one of the dudes had the Jordan. That had the briefcase, and I was like, I gotta get those. So I got like all those originals.
Yeah.
And then probably obviously the 11s. 9 through 13 for me. And then the 1s and 3s and 4s. 1s, 3s, and 4s. Yeah. Those are my favorites.
How about you, C?
I'm 1, 3, 10, 11, and 13s I like. But my favorite pair of Jordans that I have are those M&M 4s.
Oh, the black and gray ones.
Them shits is the fire. Nasty.
There's not a lot of them either, man.
No, it's not. No. But I got the black and gray ones, and I got the blue ones too.
The blue and black ones and the gray ones?
Yeah, I got the black and gray ones too, but the blue ones is only 23 pair, man.
And holy shit. I remember seeing like one of those pairs of the original ones, which I think were the black and gray ones.
Yeah.
At Flight Club, and it was like, I don't even know. It was like $8,000 or something that was going for, or something
they
like that.
Auctioned the pair off for the All In challenge. So I don't even know what those went for. But
oh my
I've only
gosh,
worn them
man.
A couple of times. I wore them. When did I wear them? I wore them recently. Oh, I wore them when I did the shop.
Oh,
I had them
nice,
on.
Man. Yeah, you gotta break them out for some special,
yeah,
man.
Yeah,
come
with some heat, guys. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, nobody had.
Hey, Max Manis asked the question. What were your nerves like after leading off Game 7 in 2016 with a homer off Kluber?
Like I said, I think I blacked out. Like, I don't even remember. Like, I remember being on deck before the game, and I could feel my heartbeat, and I was like, yeah, I got to chill out. Like, you know, I had a 5-hour energy in me already. Like, I was like, I got to chill out. So then I go up to bat, I say, what's up, and I get in there, everybody's on their feet. And you know, it's just quiet. It's quiet. And the first pitch goes in, you're like, all right, I faced, this is my third time facing Kluber.
Yeah.
Like, he throws first pitch. I'm like, all right, I've seen that shit before. You know what I mean? It is, it just, it starts coming together. And then, like, I blacked out after I hit it. Like, I was like, damn, I smacked that shit. And it kept going. Like, that's adrenaline. And then after that, like, I don't remember the rest of the game. Like, that twirl that I did, I don't remember that shit. I don't. So to ask, I like watching it, and I'm like, damn, what did I? Well, I don't even know why I did that. I think I missed his hand or something. I was looking at the bench. I don't know what happened.
Man, that's I mean, that's like such a tone setter, though. And you know, you talked earlier about like, oh, people in Chicago, though, is like, come back, come back. In all honesty, like, they haven't been able to replace what they had with you that year. You know, they've been looking for that leadoff man since, and they haven't had it. So I understand and why they want
was,
you back.
Was that the year you went back? Oh, no, the next year you went back, right? You went back in 17?
No, I went back in. I went, so 15 was my first year. Then we went to the playoffs, and we got swept by the in the NL championship to the Mets.
Yep.
And then the Royals won, and then I came back that year, 16.
But that was the year that you you came late to spring training?
Yeah, in 16. Yeah.
So, but yeah. I remember talking to you that offseason. So, 15 offseason, we must have connected at some point. Because I remember talking to you and telling you, like, they need you. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't sell yourself short. Like, if you want to go back there, go back. But I remember us having a conversation.
We did.
I remember us having a conversation about you showing up. And I was like, I remember when you showed up, I was like, y'all going to win the World Series. I remember telling you that.
Yeah, because he was like, bro, that's special. Like, it doesn't just happen like that. Like, shit, when shit happens like that, people win World Series. Y'all win World Series.
I remember that. So maybe it was, because we had the Jordan Summit in Portland. So maybe we just exchanged numbers after that, and then we started texting, and then 16 is when we hung out. Like, after that.
Yeah, I forgot.
We had a conversation. I remember you showing up to spring training. We had a conversation, like, that day or a couple days before.
100%.
I think C was like, you don't want to be in Baltimore, man. Trust me. You know, that's not the place you want to be. Like, you know, go to Chicago.
Crazy about that. It was crazy about that whole thing is, like, I remember I was building a house here in Vegas, our first house in Vegas, and I was at the, like, the design studio, and, like, I was talking to the Cubs, and, like, Baltimore kept coming with some bullshit, and I was like, nah, I'm good. Like, and then Kutch texted me and was like, congratulations, bro. I was like, oh, what? Like, what happened? And my phone just keeps buzzing. I'm like, I call my agent. I'm like, Case, what's going on, bro? Like, he goes, Baltimore said that they signed you. Like, I said, well, you better call the Cubs and tell them, like, this ain't true. He goes, oh, yeah, Theo already knows. Like, we weren't even close. And then even when I was down in, in Arizona to go to spring training, I was getting a physical, and they were like, yeah, Fowler's here in wherever their spring training is. Sarasota. Yeah, to get a physical. And I was like, how is this going? They just going to lie. You can't just lie about it.
I remember 1,000% texting you telling you not to sign in Baltimore. Yeah. 1,000%.
Don't do it,
guys. You're going to be in fifth
place.
But
I felt bad. I felt bad because Jonesy. Yeah. I play with Ubaldo. Like, they were texting me like, hey, man, we're glad to have you. Like, Manny. Like, I'm like, damn, like, I can't even tell these dudes that shit ain't real. Like, how can they not but talk to you?
How did that happen, though, Dexter? Like, how did that get out like that?
I don't know, man. I don't know. You know, that's.
But you weren't even close to finishing it.
No, because they kept trying to make me pay for a draft pick and stuff. And I'm like, bro, I'm not. And then I was like, all right, they give me an opt-out. And they were like, no. And I was like, all right, then we just back at square one.
It ain't nothing we talk about.
He's like, we don't give opt-outs. And I was like, and I'm not paying for a draft pick.
And y'all don't give contract. Like, they don't give out big contracts anyway. You know what I'm saying?
No. I mean,
it's crazy.
Well, it worked out for you, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It worked out. You know, God works in mysterious ways, right?
Amen, man. Amen. Now, we can't finish this without CeCe explaining the decorative adornings behind him.
Oh, yeah, because Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, you know,
my wife keeps it lit, bro, so it's all kind of nice stuff back here. We got
Does that mean we got
Taco
like
Taco Tuesday?
Taco Tuesday going too? Okay.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Very nice. It's on Tuesday.
It is crazy, right? My wife, you know, we grew up in California, and this is like one of her favorite holidays, even though it's not a real holiday. But yeah, I mean, we, you know, we always celebrate it. She always having a party or something. So I think she's
in the year of Corona.
In the year of Corona, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
On a Tuesday.
Exactly.
Yeah, we got the family making churros and stuff, so it should be good.
Oh, that's.
And just to explain for the audience who's just listening and not watching, CeCe has the word fiesta in gold balloons behind him with looks like green tassels, and I don't know if there's cactuses beneath it, like inflatable cactuses, right, cacti. Yeah,
it's all cacti. It's shit there. All over here. It's yeah.
You know what? Hats off to Amber, man, because she always comes through with all the stuff, man.
Yeah, she always do.
Like, not even Corona can't hold her down, man.
I'm just waiting for Christmas. I'm waiting for Christmas.
Oh, we got a good one this year, cuz. We got a good one this year, too. Wow,
I'm looking at my watch like, is it Christmas yet? I need to see the card. I got to see him.
Dexter, thank you for this, man. You were absolutely outstanding, as we knew you would be. And, you know what? Hopefully we get you back on before the next 87 episodes.
You know, you know what? You know what, guys? Thanks for having me, man. Hey, better late than never, right?
Nah, we got to do it again, cuz, for sure.
100%. Amen.
And to all of our listeners, you guys know the deal. Rate, review, subscribe. New R2C2 episodes every Thursday. We're doing it all throughout this period of time. Stay safe, stay smart. And also remember, you can catch the video of our pods as well on Uninterrupted YouTube channel. Dexter, thank you again, my man.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.